Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here live in the Intentional Living studio today. And we scheduled, in fact, we were going to be talking today about families with a child that is disabled. There was illness in the family that we have visiting with us and helping us. And so we've delayed that for just a couple weeks. I hope you understand. But this allows me to get into a topic that we face often at Intentional Living. It's when we put a hyphen in before the name family. And maybe you're a blended family, and there's lots of other names for that now. There's step family, compound family, melted family, reconstituted family, a remarried family. Put the hyphen in there. What are you, I guess, you know? And some of the challenges that you all face. I've discovered whenever you put a hyphen before anything, there's usually some additional challenges that you can face, right? Like in-laws and other things. And so I tell you what we're going to do here today. We got some great calls that we've ready to share with you, and we want you to join in the discussion as well with this really one question. If you're a blended family, you've lived in a blended family, you could either be the parents or maybe you were a child raised in a blended family. What one thing do you want to pass along to the world today as a lesson learned, a positive thing, something you learned that you want to pass along to others, one thing that worked for you or one thing that you wish you had done differently, whatever, so we can encourage others who are in a blended family today. 888-888-1717 is my number. Team, are you ready to go? All righty, phone lines are open. 888-888-1717. Let's get started here. DJ first from Michigan. Go right ahead, DJ. Tell us your story.
I grew up in a blended family and then had a blended family of my own. Christ is, of course, the center, but you have to give respect to get respect, especially from children who have other parents, whether they're absent or whether they're the ones that visit on the weekends. So you just have to be respectful and treat other people the way you would be treated. It takes a little while, but things start to smooth out as soon as they understand that you're no threat to the other parent. And then they just kind of get along, and everybody loves each other and supports each other and encourages each other. Praise God. Thank you.
And thank you. You're right on, DJ. The importance of respect, that's true in any relationship. I mean, it's foundational trust, respect, good communication. Shannon, it says here that you have two things, not just one. So welcome to the show. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Dr. Andy. I'm currently listening right now to your discussion with regards to blended families and what I've learned from all of that. I can say for sure there are two things. Number one, to have a united front, and number two, just to allow the parent that happens to be the step-parent in the blended relationship, allow them to be a parent sometimes and learn how to step back. I can't tell you more often than not that my children have tried to change and things that are necessary in life and the people that we love sometimes unintentionally. I can tell you that by creating a united front and creating rules and regulations for such with our entire family, once they learn to begin to trust and understand and grow, they found that it was a wonderful resource. I also have found that by allowing my husband of 2 years, that it's okay to allow him to parent in places that I wouldn't necessarily be so good at. I have two boys and two girls, and I can tell you that the girl part, that's easy. Sometimes they don't want to talk to me, though. And allowing him to be able to step in as that other parent and as that male figure and in Christ be able to explain to them things that are important in life and allow me as the mom and the control freak to step back and allow him to do what he needs to do. Our family has become such a united front, and we are so blessed.
Mm, that's great. Thank you, Shannon. Taking time to call from Arizona. Even though we asked for one thing, you had two, that's fine. If you have two things or three things, you're welcome to add in. In fact, you know who I'd love to hear from as well? I would love to hear from some of you. Maybe you're out of the home now, you're a young adult or adult, and you were raised in a blended family, and you look back, and you think about, here's one thing they did right. Here's one thing mom and dad did that I look back now and realize it was the right thing. What would it be? Or maybe even something they didn't, they should have. 888-1717 is the number. 888-1717. All right, Dot in Michigan is next. Welcome. It looks to me like you have a question. What's your question?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, I understand that you're talking about blended families today, and my question is, where do you draw the line? Because you say defer to the bio parent,
mm-hmm.
and probably 90% of the time I can do that and, you know, do make mistakes and say things I shouldn't, but the amount of disrespect that comes beyond that...
From the child. From the child.
Correct. Well, it stems from the parent.
Right.
So my question is, if they're, whether it's blatant or whether it's subtle, if they're insulting me, if they're disrespectful, if that kind of thing...
No, that can't be tolerated. One of the things that I teach in this series has been... we can talk about anything, but we're going to be respectful. Respect is a key ingredient. And when I talk about deferring to the, you know, the primary parent, what I mean is that, you know, they may have a little different way of approaching discipline or have a little different policy with their children, and you want to support them. But if there's disrespect toward you, that shouldn't be tolerated. And you need to sit down with your husband and say, listen, you need to see this and understand that when the kids treat me this way, this is what's going on. This has got to be dealt with because, frankly, it's affecting how I feel about you as their okay. dad and my husband. And so talk about deferring, we're not talking about diminishing or denying the fact that there's a problem. When there's a problem, right. we have to get it on the table and get the cards face up and deal with what we're, you know, what we see.
Okay, I agree. However, when that has been accomplished, when I have expressed my concerns, when I have saying that it's affecting my position with you, I don't know that I've worded it exactly like that, mm-hmm. but he knows.
Right.
But his response is, they'll grow out of it. You know, it's a procrastination thing, and I love this man, and I just don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, you know, they may grow out of it, but in the process of growing out of it, you may grow apart. And the reality is the pain that you're feeling of this disrespect from his children, your children together, is something that just can't be tolerated. So when we talk about letting the primary parent be the responsible one, understanding you may be getting into a blended family and there's already years, the first act of life has already passed, and these children have certain patterns and you have a certain relationship with them. You're now developing new history, new patterns of communication, new traditions, and those things are important, but you're still the parent and your children are going to relate to you as they have maybe for many years. That's okay, but we don't want to have a home where disrespect is allowed by one set of kids and not by the other. Now, it may be that you're going to have some different parenting styles and ways of communicating and knowing that each child is uniquely different, but there are some absolutes that need to be foundational in any family, blended or otherwise, to make it work, and that's respect, communication, honesty. These are things that are absolute and are necessary to make a blended family work. What do you think? What's one thing that's helped you? What's one thing that works if you're in a blended family? Give me a call, question or comment. Love to hear your story. Tell us that one thing. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Right after the break, Ron Deal, who spends his entire life helping blended families from Family Life Today, is going to share some thoughts with us as well. But first, this break.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. What are the characteristics of someone who's winning or losing at life? In Dr. Randy's teaching, he looks at Nehemiah and Jonah and how they each responded to the challenges and opportunities in front of them and what we can learn from their stories. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer. And to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Talking Step Families. How you doing, Ron?
Good, Randy. It's always good to be here.
Well, appreciate you stopping by here. We're talking, you know, step families in terms of kids. What's the mistake these two loving adults make? They come together with passion and love and commitment. What's the big thing they got to watch out for with the kids who are also being brought into this step family?
Let me give you the number one mistake of step parents and the number one mistake of biological parents. Step parents assume that because they have goodwill towards the child, that the child will receive that goodwill, and that their spouse, the biological parent, will receive that goodwill. Sometimes when step-parents kind of speak up about a situation or about a child's behavior, they're really blindsided when their spouse takes a defensive posture for the child and all of a sudden is saying, hey, are you telling me my kid is bad, or I've been parenting them poorly all these years, and all of a sudden they're not being heard and their spouse is against them and they're pitted against one another as a couple, and now their couple relationship is taking a hit. So when you speak to the child's behavior, make sure you express your intent well to your spouse. Hey, just want you to know, I care for your child. I love this kid and I want good things for him or her. So here's why I'm suggesting this. That's kind of a nice lead-in that softens the blow a little bit. Now, here's the mistake that biological parents make. They get so invested in their new marriage or their stepchildren, if their spouse brought kids, that they lose touch with their own children. You really have to affirm that they have not lost you. You have to remind them of your love for them. Carve out some special time, for example, to just spend one-on-one time with each of your children so they know I still have you. That's very important.
Very good.
Hi, my name is Rich. My comment about blended families, as a stepdad for many years, the children have since grown, and the biggest lesson that I learned the experience was not to go into things wanting to change them or to fix them. The advice I've given to many people since that time who were becoming stepdads or who were stepdads is that it's not your job to fix, it's your job to love. That has to come first, and there has to be a relationship there before any kind of correction takes place. And, of course, you don't want to let urgent situations go, but that's for you and your spouse to work out as closely as possible and then go from there. But love them above all else, build a relationship, and then work on correcting.
888-888-1717. You can join the discussion along with Rich and Brandon and Lisa and others on the phone. Share with us one thing that you've learned going through as a blended family, being in a blended family, being a part of a blended family, something that's worked for you. 888-888-1717, or didn't work, and you say, don't do that. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Love to have you be a part of the show today. Let's go to Dale in Georgia. Hey, Dale, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good. What's your one thing on blended families?
I married to a family.
Oop, you're breaking up a little bit, Dale. I think we got a weak signal. We'll get back to you in a moment when your signal improves. You're welcome to call us, 888-888-1717. Brandon, also, let me see, in Georgia, why don't you go right ahead? What's your one thing?
One thing that I've learned about integrated families is adapting to one another's routines, learning the ins and outs of the family that you joined into or this person has joined into. Not only adapting, but being willing to compromise. You can't make everything be how you want it. You have to compromise with the person that's joined your family, the family you joined, and be willing to do things together, whether it's your way or their way.
888-888-1717. Great calls. Thank you, everyone, sharing your comments with us today and helping each other. You know, we believe here at Intentional Living, we're better as a community of believers. We're better together when we share and encourage each other, not just gripe about each other and gripe about the world, complain, spit in the wind many times, but to say, hey, here's something that's helping. Here's working. We certainly need each other, and we'd love to have you be a part of the show. What's working for you? 888-888-1717 is that phone number. All right, let's go to, let me see, we got a caller from Michigan, I think. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Lisa from Michigan. My advice to parents in general is be extremely careful when you're blending families. My current husband and I did that with 10, 11, 12, 14-year-olds. There's four. My advice would be for each adult to parent their own child. We ran into difficulties. My kids had a tendency to be more disrespectful to me, and my husband would jump right in and strongly discipline them, and then he would say, I'm taking their side, and it just got into a lot of screaming and yelling. I know my child better than he, and most of the time when my children and I would get into arguments, they would come back to me later and apologize for it. So just be very careful. Seek God and his word to you and lots of prayer. And we did survive. Kids are all friends now, and all four of them love each of us equally. So just be careful. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Lisa. Be careful. Let's hear a little bit of the warning there. Be careful. I think I always tell people going into blended families, have your eyes wide open. You can get as much out on the table as you need to and should in premarital counseling and baby family counseling, but you're still going to face the unexpected. And one of the things that was said a little bit ago is that you may be in this relationship with a certain expectation, but your children or those that are coming in that are going to be blending into the family, they've been through hurts. Everybody in a blended family has their own hurts, their own loss, their own expectations, their own challenges, and they bring each of these things into the family relationship. And so if we don't have that grace that was talked about earlier in the show, that sense of mercy and grace and forgiveness and understanding, we really miss each other. So if, and I tell guys, don't go into a blended family thinking you're going to whip that family in shape. You know, you say, well, that family needs to be whipped in shape, and I can... Hello, because it ain't going to work. It's going to blow up in your face. Your job is to be there and support and encourage and realize that people are bringing different hurts with them. You're welcome to join us. What do you think? What have you learned? What did you need to unlearn? 888-888-1717, blended families from Intentional Living.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I'm listening to your program about blended families and just wanted to say that we've been a blended family for 11 years. The kids were 1, 2, and 4 when we got together. And the biggest suggestion I can make to anybody who wants to blend their family is to really dive in deep to having God free you of all the past hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you might be bringing into the marriage, because that all gets in the way before you can even blend your family together. And if you can be healed of those things first, the blending goes a lot easier. I'm happy to say that our family, although we've had many difficulties, has blended nicely, and they're now all three teenagers, and we work through things through conversation and in love. So thank you.
Talking blended families today. Let's see. We could get back to, wait a minute. Dale's not ready yet, I guess. Let's go to Julie in Michigan. Julie, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good. What's one thing that you've learned or not learned?
One thing that my sister and her husband didn't do with their youngest son was spare the rod and teach responsibility. The other kids from his first marriage are fine. Their oldest daughter between the two of them are fine, but the youngest one is 30 years old and doing horrible.
Yeah.
Because he needed responsibility and consequences.
Yeah, I think a lot of times blended families, the people I've talked to and couples I've talked to enter into a blended family feeling a certain amount of guilt, you know, for whatever reason, from the past marriage and so on. And so it's easy as you go into a blended family then not to follow through and be the parent that God intended for you to be. Now, we teach logical and natural consequences. That's what we've taught over the years, teaching our kids to be responsible. And a logical consequence simply means, what's the logical consequence for being disrespectful when you're 16 years old, might be you're not driving the car. Or it might be that when you say you're going to go to a certain place, we're not quite sure you're going to do that. So we don't trust you because the pattern has been that you've not been trustworthy. Those are logical consequences. And so a natural consequence, on the other hand, is when we say we're going to have dinner at a certain time and you choose not to show up, you got a little empty tummy, right? I mean, especially with the little kids. And so the use of logical and natural consequences can help teach our kids responsibility. But you're also right on, we're a family, and keeping the family working together is one thing that we need to make as a priority. All right, let me go to line one. I think it's, is this Dale?
Dale,
welcome to the show. Or is this Lalinda?
Yes.
There we go. Lalinda, go right ahead from Kansas.
I wanted to share that people should remember that children want to defend someone they love, and a child should never have to defend a parent. So don't talk bad about the other parent that's not there anymore.
So you're talking about maybe their parent that's you're divorced and apart. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes. If you have to talk about them, only share the good things about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear you talk good about them, no matter what the other parent says about you.
Yeah. Are you in a blended family now?
I am. I have a 22-year-old adult son.
Was that an issue?
And my current husband. I'm sorry?
Was that an issue? That
it was. My current husband and I have been together since my son was one. And so he grew up with his father always talking bad about us.
Yeah.
But we determined that we were never going to do that.
And what did your son, I've always been interested, did your son grow up and figure that out for himself?
He did. For a long time, his father did not talk nice about us. And it caused a lot of issues and a lot of anxiety with our son.
Yeah.
But we determined we were never going to talk bad about his father, no matter what was happening between us, because my relationship with his father will always be different than the relationship our son has with his father.
Yeah.
And I will not be the one to deteriorate that relationship.
Did you feel like you at times needed to defend yourself, though, in terms of things that might be communicated to your son?
Yes, but as my son got older, he learned it's what you do, not what you say. And he sees it full view for himself. I don't have to point things out. He sees how I act and what I say and how his father acts and what he says.
Yeah. So what you're saying is over time, in your case at least, your son saw the truth for himself, sorted it out. And it wasn't something you had to teach him or preach or defend yourself.
Yes, and I personally feel it was better that way. He didn't have to defend his father, and I wasn't attacking his father, but he can see where his father is lacking.
Yeah,
kids are smart; they
yes,
know these things.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you totally. By the way, Lalinda, thank you for your call. By the way, there in Kansas, sounds like you're driving. Be safe. There's a tendency when you have a family that's split, obviously, that you want to defend yourself. And I always tell parents, listen, it's a stupid thing to beat up your ex-spouse with your kid, to your kids. You're going to pay for it someday. In the short run, they may buy it, but they're going to grow up just like Lalinda's son, and they figure this stuff out. And pretty soon they start saying, hey, mom, you know, every time mom says something, it doesn't register with reality in my relationship with dad or vice versa. And so a wise parent will love their kids and not make it their goal to try to undermine that ex-spouse. That's really small and immature. It is. It's an immature thing to do. That's for sure. All right. We're talking blended families today on Intentional Living. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue to stay in the studio. I'd love to have you join us at 888-888-1717. The next thing we see that Jonah did in this story is he hid from God in verse 3. It says he went down to Joppa, he found a ship going down into the hull below so he could be out of the presence of the Lord. He hid from God. Where we see Nehemiah went before God, he prayed, he fasted, he was on his knees. We see Jonah hiding in the bottom of the ship as though God can't see him down there. That's an excerpt from this month's master class for our Intentional Living community, and it's on the topic of how to be a winner in life. And I don't mean a winner in terms of just success. That's part of it, frankly. But beyond that, and more importantly, the foundation of being the kind of person that God's really wired you to be. And when we follow what God's intention is for our life and we live in a life of obedience to Him, man, fantastic things, positive things, things that we look back and say, I'm glad I followed this path, can happen in our lives. And so the lesson this month, our master class for our community of Intentional Living supporters, is really comparing and contrasting the life of these two Old Testament characters, Jonah and Nehemiah. And it is a fascinating comparison. And this has been sent out to those who are part of our Intentional Living community. And now that we're getting closer to the end of the month, I want you to be a part of it. Come and join us. Join in support. Whatever God lays on your heart, if you can join us in monthly support at $1 a day, 4 quarters a day, $30 a month, I'd appreciate it. But whatever God lays on your heart, we'll make sure you start receiving the master class every month. Now, I got word this morning from Heather, from our team, that we have just a little over $7,000 left on what? A match. We have some friends of the ministry who said in this final month of the fiscal year for the ministry, June 30th is the end of the fiscal year, they're going to match everything dollar for dollar to help us continue to do this. And here's the deal. It needs to be matched in order to be matched. And so your gift right now would be so valuable because we're getting close to the end of the month. $1,000, if God lays that on your heart, you want to be a part of making a $1,000 impact in people's lives, it'll be matched dollar for dollar. Maybe someone says, I can take care of all 7,000 of that. That'd be fantastic. Whatever portion, just come and join us. Two ways, call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Our staff will take your calls. You can join in, just press number 2 when you get the prompt, and they'd love to talk to you. And know that your support's going to reach more people for Christ and be matched dollar for dollar. 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. That same number, by the way, because we're going to continue this show for the next half hour recorded, so it'll air on Friday, so give us a call. Dr. Randy, got to run. We'll see you tomorrow.